thank you all for being here this evening. I am delighted to introduce you to a fellow coach and somebody who I have a lot of respect for, Anne Lehr. And she's with us on the call. Say hi, Anne.
Hi, Freddie. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us.
Just to give you a little background about Anne, she graduated from Cornell University School of Hotel Management and moved to Africa, where she owned and managed an eco-friendly hotel and safari companies for more than 15 years.
Wow.
There, she was tested in her leadership and became very interested in learning how to teach other people how to lead, and this was her transition into coaching. She is the co-author of two books. One is called Managing the Unmanageable, which is a guide to changing behavior of unruly or unmotivated employees. And the other book is A Manager's Guide to Coaching, helping busy managers get the best out of their employees. She's been mentioned and featured in some very well-known publications, including Newsweek, The Washington Post, The Huffington Post, The New York Times, and others, including Geographic Traveler, which must have been fun. And so I have invited Anne to join us on tonight's call and talk about motivation. And thank you all for registering. And some of you made some comments on some of your particular issues. So I just want to highlight a few of those before we get started with Anne. So some of the issues were how to keep life going forward with balance, but not limiting family, work, and kids. How do I get motivated around tasks that I don't enjoy doing but I need to do? Motivation for transitioning into a new career, that came up a couple of times. Some people on the call are working by themselves and want to become more organized and motivated to get more organized. How to keep motivation going when you're completely drained, that's an energy thing. And how to develop professionally within your organization that doesn't necessarily support it. Actually, Anne, did you want to say anything else about your background that you think our audience would like to hear?
I think that's plenty. I think we need to just get down and help people move forward and answer some of these issues they have.
In one of your books, you refer to the success equation. Tell us a little bit about what that is and what it has to do with motivation.
Sure. So the success equation is in my first book, which is called A Manager's Guide to Coaching. And going back to what Freddie said for my background, so I spent the first 15 to 18 years of my career working in Africa. My first company was a hotel company, sold that. Then my second company was a safari company and sold that. And I, as Freddie said, I had to figure out a lot of it on my own. They didn't teach me how to work with 42 tribes and how to work with all the diversity that I was dealing with out there. And I read a lot of books and studied the classics in terms of motivation and Blanchard, Covey, Dan Pink wasn't out there yet, but he was just beginning, and trying to put it all together. And I came back about 8 years ago to the States, and people said, well, what are you going to do with the rest of your life? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I've had two businesses. I've done everything I want to do. And someone said, well, why don't you become a coach? And I was like, a coach? Like, I didn't know you could become a coach. I seriously thought you were, like, born a coach. And I'm like, no, go to training and become certified, and you'll be a coach. I was like, oh, okay, that's how that's worked. So as I was coaching, all my clients kept saying, you need to write a book. I'd say, please, there are 1,000 books out there on coaching. We don't need another one. But what I realized is what I bring to an organization, to teams, individuals, is I'm very practical, very pragmatic. So as I was trying to figure out how do I teach a busy manager how to coach their employees to success, and you know, all these books in front of me, it's all the classics, I took the best of Blanchard, Covey, Drucker, and made my own model, and I call that model success equation. And what it is, it's a very simple formula. So for those of you who are visual, you might want to grab a piece of paper and a pen, and I'm going to draw it for you in words, and you can draw it the way you want. So we're going to be going from left to right on a piece of paper, and you're literally just going to write A as an alpha, plus A, alpha again, plus A equals success. So three A's equals success. And again, this is, I did not make up the concepts. These concepts are from the classics. What I did is I made it in a way that every busy manager could easily understand it. And what those three A's stand for, the first A is aptitude, A-P-T, as in skills, competence, knowledge to do the job. So the first A is aptitude. Second A is attitude, A-T-T, and that, how I define that, is the motivation. That's how motivation fits in, the focus, the drive. And then the third A is available resources. So aptitude, A-P-T, plus attitude, A-T-T, plus available resources equals success. So I can go more into it. Before I do that, Freddie, any questions or from anybody on the call just about those words and that language before we go any deeper?
I think that's pretty clear. Aptitude, oh, attitude, and available resources. Yeah.
Right. So the formula works out like this. It's an even number, 33% plus 33% plus 33%. And this model, after we created it, my co-author and I, and we tested it, this works for any adult. This is not for early childhood education, but for any adult learning any new thing, whether it's how to bake, how to fly a plane, how to create new programs with technology, whatever it is, for adults, it's the three A's in even percentages. So let me give you a story, and you will understand much quicker than I can explain in words. So, Freddie, do you remember your first bike?
Yes.
What color was it?
My first bike, it was red.
Yeah. We all remember our first bike, right? So let's imagine, you know, let's imagine your parents give you this bike, right? And you're so excited. So your parents are sitting back. They know about this equation. And this is a diagnostic model. And so they think, huh, I wonder how successful Freddie's going to be at this. So let me look at this. So does she have, so I'm going to ask you this, and Freddie, you're going to answer for me. Does she have the available resources she needs to ride a bike? So,
well, now I do because I have the bike.
Right. So you have the bike. Yeah. So you're 33% successful. So we know you'd be 33% successful. Then they say, does she have the aptitude, APT, the skills, the competence, the know-how to actually ride a bike?
No, I didn't.
When
not
you first got
that.
It,
no.
You didn't have that. So at best, at this point, you're going to be 33% successful. So then they said, did you have the attitude, ATT, the focus, the drive, the enthusiasm, the excitement to ride the bike?
Oh, yes, because my sisters both rode bikes faster than before I did.
Right, exactly. So you've got the attitude and you've got the available resources, and yet, at best, Freddie, you're going to be 66% successful. And that's pretty sobering when we translate it back to the workforce, which we're going to do in a minute. Think about how many times do we send people out to do work or ourselves to do work, and you sit back and you do your own diagnostic and you think, oh my gosh, I'm only going to be 66% successful. But let's play out the bike story. So you get on the bike, right? Don't care that you don't have the skills. You get out there, you bike, and I'm guessing what probably happened pretty quickly.
I fell off the bike a couple of times.
Exactly. You fell off the bike. So, but did you still get excited and still get back on the bike?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But let's say it's an hour later, Freddie, okay? And at this point, you've fallen off the bike 20 times, you scraped your knee, you scraped your elbow, and you're calling it quits. You're done. So let's review our success equation. So still the available resources, so 33%. How about your aptitude, APT? You think you picked up any skills?
Probably not feeling like I had at that particular moment in time.
Right. So that's your attitude. So that's the enthusiasm. So your aptitude, maybe you picked up a little. So let's be generous. Let's say you're at 40% now successful.
Okay.
But your attitude, exactly as you said, your attitude dropped.
Yeah.
So the aptitude went up, but the attitude went down. Available resources stay the same. So at this point, I'm making this up, 50% successful.
Oh.
So it's an easy story for you if you're diagnosing yourself. I know you have your own company. For those on the call who are working with other people in their community and their organizations to say, before I send Mary out to do this new project or send Tom out to take care of this, how successful are they going to be? And then it's a diagnostic for you and for that person to say, well, let me not throw this person to the wolves. If they need available resources, I give them the resources as much as I can within the budget and the economy. If they need aptitude, APT, I give them as much skill-based training as I can. And here's where this call comes in. If it's an attitude issue, ATT, that's where coaching comes in. If it's aptitude, you train. If it's available resource, you get the resources. And if it's attitude, that's a coaching job because it's an inside job. You can't do anything about someone's motivation, enthusiasm until they start to do it themselves. It's an inside job. So
well,
I'm going to kind of stop right there. Yeah.
Yeah. So some of our guests are saying, okay, so how can I get more organized? How can I enjoy tasks around things that I have to do but I don't really want to do? You know, I'm working but I'm feeling drained, which so then my motivation drops.
Right.
Does your equation apply to those?
Absolutely. So let's talk, for example, so it's me and I want to get more organized. So do I have the resources? It depends. I may or may not. Let's assume I have most of the resources that I need, though. It's not really a resource issue. So then you ask yourself, well, do I have the skills? Do I have what it takes to do whatever it is that I'm doing to get organized, or do I need someone to help me? And again, let's assume that for most, you know, for this, it's a simple organizational task. You have the skills to do it. So that only leaves attitude, ATT, which is where the coaching comes in. And when coaching comes in, what I mean by that is you can coach yourself, and that's what I have in the first book. And coaching, as you know, Freddie, is really about asking the kinds of questions to get to the root problem. As you know, and as others on the call know, we often present the symptom of, oh, I'm not really that excited about this. Or, oh, you know, I don't really feel like doing this. And underneath it, when you ask the coaching questions of what's really going on, what's the root cause, if you're really honest with yourself, you may come up with something like, and I'm totally making this up, oh, I really am just not into the projects that I'm organizing around right now. Or I'm just really not into the client that I'm organizing around right now. And that's why coaching is so vital to helping you figure out the motivation or lack of motivation.
Right, right. The coaching questions help to improve the motivation because it helps you get further below the surface other than that just lack of initiative or the lack of inertia for you to move forward. Is that accurate?
Absolutely.
The coaching questions get you to go down deeper.
Absolutely. And go ahead.
What would be some examples of some good coaching questions?
So in my first book, I have 5 tips for good questions. And I'll go through all 5 quickly now. And I have a handout, by the way, for anyone who wants a handout, they can contact you or me, and I can send it to them. It has some of this information on it. But I'm only going to focus on a few during the full call. So the first coaching tip is to keep your questions short. Everybody on this call is well-educated. Everybody here can think quite deeply. And sometimes that deep thinking in terms of complex questions, compounded questions, actually confuses the issue. So my rule of thumb is 6 words or less. What's the impact of that? What do you really want? What's the underlying issue? What's getting in your way? The shorter you can make the question, again, I usually say 6 words or less, the more impactful, the more clear it will be either for yourself or for the person who you're working with, whether it's a colleague, someone in your community, someone in your family. The second tip is to keep it advice-free. And this is something, again, we're all guilty of. We all love to give advice because we've been in that person's shoes. We took care of it in one way or another. We have a great idea. We want to help. And so we often will give advice. And often people don't want advice. They just want someone to help them think something through. And we often pretend to disguise our advice, Freddie. We'll say something like, well, have you tried this?
Right.
Or why don't you try that? You know, and it's really just giving advice. So we say a good coaching question is advice-free. You have no agenda. You just ask the question. The third one is you want to make them open-ended. So you're going to start with what or how. Open-ended question is not a question that can be answered with yes or no. So you're opening it up to a conversation.
What or how?
Sorry?
What was that question?
The open-ended is what or how?
What or how? You want to open up with a what or a how question.
Okay.
So instead of did you, will you, could you, those are all questions that the person could say yes or no to, and you're stuck. If it's how would you do this, what would you do differently, what's meaningful to you about this project, it forces them to answer without a yes or a no. And then you get into dialogue and you get people to start to do their best thinking. So those are three tips. The last two are kind of bonus points. So before I get into those, let's take a minute and stop and just focus on those three, because those are the three most important, to keep them short, to keep them advice-free, and to keep them open-ended. So
anybody else have any questions? Okay, so we've now got a little bit of the formulas to get the questions to dive down. So what I'm hearing is that these coaching questions can help us find what the root cause that's causing us not to move forward in getting organized or helping to move forward in your career or whatever the issue is. Because I also understand that inherently we have the answer within. Would you agree with that, or do we always need to go out and get some more information?
I would agree that inherently we have the answer within. I think sometimes we need some prompting to know what it is. Because, again, motivation isn't, as I always say, it's an inside job. Mm-hmm. I could throw $1 million at someone, but if money is not what motivates them, they're not going to change their behavior. And when we look at motivation, look at the list that you gave us earlier, in terms of organization, new career, tasks, balance, that type of thing, it's really important to find out what motivates people. And everybody is so unique, we are never going to know that until we start asking questions. And you can't know that by asking close-ended questions. You have to let that person really start to find out for themselves and to share it with you. What is it that they want out of this relationship, out of this community, out of this job, out of this client, that then motivates them to be the best they can be?
Absolutely. That sounds great. Now, another area of motivation, especially of interest to people this time of year, usually is getting on a new healthy regime. Usually people get motivated just because it's the first of the year. But then March comes along and they maybe lose their motivation. What would you do with somebody that's at that sort of, after the novelty has worn off and the pattern has set in, how would you educate somebody around what to do next there when they're in that phase?
So there's some research that's been done that humans inherently don't like to lose. We just mm-hmm. don't like to lose. We don't like to lose our job. We don't like to lose money. We don't like to lose relationships. And so when it comes to health, we often originally frame it as lose pound, lose inches, lose flabbiness, whatever the case may be. And our brains actually aren't wired that way. And so we actually have to flip it around and find a meta goal. So instead of I'm going to lose 10 pounds, I often ask my clients, as I'm sure you do, what are you going to gain out of this?
Right.
And I'm not looking for an answer of, a size 6 dress. I'm looking, again, that's where those coaching questions come in, because a size 6 dress, you're going to lose motivation on that after 2 months. But if it's, I want more energy so that I can spend more time with my grandchildren, mm-hmm. or I want more energy so that I can really focus on my daughter, that's a
right.
whole different way of looking at it. And so
right.
when you're looking at something like the fitness goals and the health resolutions, it's really about shifting it to what am I going to gain and how am I going to be different because of this?
Right, right. And then how about accountability? That's another part that is really key to maintaining motivation. What sort of thoughts do you have around building in accountability?
I'm a big, big believer that accountability is key. In my second book, I have a framework that I created about how to manage unruly employees. And part of that framework, the fifth step, is maintaining accountability. Because if that person is motivated, and if that person has the resources and has the aptitude, it's still a behavioral change, Freddie. And behavioral changes are very hard to make. They were created over time, and it's not going to be happening overnight in terms of changing it. And there's always going to be, no matter how motivated you are, two steps forward and one step back. And that's where the accountability comes in. So people say, well, I don't have a coach, or I don't know if I want a coach, whatever it may be. I would say just find an accountability partner. Find a friend. Find a family member just to say, hey, can you just check in with me every week? You know, shoot me a two-sentence email or a one-line text that just lets me know that someone out there is caring about my goals. And just having that and saying, oh, my gosh, I know my sister Jo is going to be calling me in a few minutes, will help people maintain that accountability until they create the new habit and the new behavior.
Right. So that's a great tip. I think that a lot of people feel that they have to do it all themselves, and that they neglect the opportunity to ask for help, to help support them in whatever initiative that they're doing, you know, whether it's a career goal or getting more organized. And so that goes back to your source, the resource part of your equation, but also supporting role with an accountability partner, whether it's a coach or a friend or even just an email reminder to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to just open it up again to our audience. I know we've got a nice group on the call this evening. What questions or issues would you like to ask of Anne? Maybe how to apply the success equation to your particular situation. Please speak up.
This is Kathy. I was wondering if you could speak a little bit more to sort of the work-related environment of the questions you might ask, both in the keeping it short and the keep it brief advice.
Sure. Thanks, Kathy, for asking that question. So in my first book, I literally have hundreds and hundreds of questions that anybody can ask. And I have a six-step process, which we're not going to get into now, but let me just briefly explain that coaching, in my philosophy, is about two things. It's the two A's. I kind of have a thing for A's. I don't know how that happened. But the first A is what I call awareness, and the second A is what I call action. And coaching is all about awareness of what's going on, awareness of how I'm getting into my own way, and then action of what am I going to do about it. And I always jokingly say that too much awareness without action is just, you know, singing kumbaya, navel gazing, and, you know, passing the orange around in circles around your neck. And too much action without awareness, you're just going down the same rabbit hole again and again and again, and no behavior changes. So questions need to lead, and it's not, you know, a linear, systematic way, but in general, when you're trying to coach someone, you want them to have awareness of what's really going on, how are they getting in their own way, and then action of what they want to do about it. So say, for example, well, Kathy, do you have a specific example? Don't you want me to make one up?
Oh, go ahead and make one up.
Okay. So let's say, for example, someone comes to me. Her name is Mary, and she says, I cannot work with Tom anymore. I will not work with Tom anymore, and I want you to do something about it. Now, a manager who doesn't really know anything about emotional intelligence, coaching, the success equation, that type of thing, might start to get into a conversation of either advice, well, here's what you should do with Mary. This is what I did last week. Or they might start getting into, oh, really? She did that with me, too. And I saw her do that with Joe last week, too. Neither of which is helpful. So a leader, a manager who is facing this type of situation might say, so what's really going on? Well, what's really going on is Tom's making me crazy. I get that. What's really going on with you? Well, nothing's going on with me. I want you to take care of Tom. So we're here to focus on you and how you can change the relationship. So what do you really want in your relationship with Tom? Well, I just want him to listen to me. So we're getting a little deeper now. Okay, so what does that look like, you want him to listen to you? So notice I'm asking all open-ended what type of questions. Well, I just want him to stop interrupting me And when I have an idea, to at least acknowledge that he heard my idea. Okay, so you want him to stop interrupting you and to acknowledge. And what do you really want out of this relationship? Well, I want him to think of us as equals because we are equals. All right. So the underlying issue, and, you know, again, I often say you can coach in 2 minutes by the water cooler just by doing what I did, is there's going to be something here about being respected, being heard, being treated as an equal. So let's assume we got to the final point. There might be one or two more layers, but for this conversation, we'll stay there. So that's our awareness piece. So then I would say, so what's your role in this? What do you mean, what's my role? It's all up to Tom. Well, actually, no, we all have a role. What's your role in this? Well, I guess maybe I cut him off too. All right, so you cut him off too. So that's the impact question, and I cannot emphasize this enough. You can never ask the impact question enough, which is basically, what's the impact of that on X, on the team, on you, on the organization, on your community? The more someone starts to see the pain and the impact, the more they will be able to change. So what's the impact on the fact that you and Tom aren't talking to each other? Well, we are missing a lot of deadlines. And what else? Well, people really don't like being in meetings with us. So we've gotten to enough awareness, so now you switch to action. So what do you want to do about it? I'm not digging anymore to the root. I'm saying, what do you want to do about it? Well, I don't know. I just want Tom to start listening to me. Well, how can you make that happen? And then that piece is actually usually generally easier for people because people are used to doing that piece. So I say, well, I have a conversation with them. And then finally you wrap it up with accountability. So when are you going to have that conversation and what support do you need from me? So again, I made it a little easy because it wasn't a real life situation. But what I'm doing is I'm probing for awareness. What's the real issue? She wanted to be heard. I'm probing for impact so that she starts to see that missed deadlines are partly her responsibility. And I'm switching to action. Whatever she chooses is fine. And then I'm holding her accountable at the end for whatever she decides to do. So that was a kind of a macro level. So I'm happy if you have specifics, I can go into deeper about a specific work situation if anybody would like that.
This is in your first book, which is A Manager's Guide to Coaching, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
And you shared with me an article earlier this week when we were talking about the call that you found that says the problem isn't motivation. It was actually follow through. Do you remember that article?
I do, and that gets back to that accountability piece. We all have the best intentions, but if we don't have that accountability, and we cannot keep ourselves accountable, Freddie, even the best laid intentions, it's a habit I've had for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I can't break it by myself. I need someone to help me make sure that the follow-through is there.
Yeah, that outside influence. That I think, is important.
Mm-hmm.
Where else can we learn more about the success equation?
You can go to my website, which is annlaer.com, so it's just my name.com, and my books are there, or you can go purchase my book from my website. Or, again, I'm happy to send anybody a copy of my handouts. I'll be honest, my handouts tend to be fairly blank in the sense of I leave a lot of space for people to write and take notes. So if you get it and you're like, what the heck, feel free to contact me and we can talk more about it afterwards, and if you don't understand something that perhaps is not covered on this call.
Let me open it up again. I did have some questions here that were sent in around motivation to transition into a new career.
Can I pipe up? I don't know.
Yeah, go ahead.
My question was kind of similar in that, this is a new business for me to get into the coaching business, and I do have a hard time with my motivation as well. But when you were talking about the article, I realized that, it's not always following through or getting overwhelmed with all the things that I have to follow through with. Mm-hmm. And not particularly, maybe it's just not used to or not liking particularly to work alone. It's hard to stay motivated by myself and not, so the motivation is, you know, I get motivated and I want more clients and such, and then I think there's a fear that I'm going to get more clients. It's a double, you know, and then what am I going to do? Can I handle it? Am I organized enough? I'm not super technical, so, you know, am I going to be able to keep up with everything? So it's, I feel like I do a number on myself, damned if I do and damned if I don't. So I...
Well, that sounds like a great... if we could use the success equation, because there's the aptitude, which possibly, I mean, if you're a coach, possibly you've been trained, you're ready to roll. Then there's the attitude, which is maybe a little on the fence, and then available resources. And maybe just walking her through that.
This is a great example, because the way I explain the success equation, I made it very simple, and it's very rarely that simple. Usually you have at least two, if not all three A's, kind of going up and down at the same time. And this is exactly as Freddie said. My guess, based on what you said, first of all, is completely normal. I think a lot of solopreneurs feel the same way. And so, yes, there might be some aptitude, APT, in terms of the coaching skills, or as you said, maybe some technology skills. And then there's the attitude of, well, what happens? And then maybe in the resources of, can you afford the branding, the marketing, all that type of thing. So you may have all three A's going up and down. So when this happens, I try to focus on the motivation piece first, but I try to have them all in parallel to some degree. So what I mean by that is, even if you win the lottery and you get $100,000 to put into your business, you still may not have the motivation. And even if you become the best trained coach, you still want to have the motivation. So I tend to work on the middle A first. And again, asking yourself those really big questions, and this is where you need an accountability partner or someone just to talk to, is to say, well, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? Is my purpose to make money? And there's nothing wrong with that. Or is my purpose to change lives? Or is my purpose to... change my career? All of those have different answers, and all of those have different ramifications. So I would encourage you first to really get clear, and sometimes it's journaling, sometimes it's talking to people, and get crystal clear on, what is my purpose of this business? There's something that's called a life purpose statement. That's for personal individuals, and then it's called a vision, sometimes a mission for organizations, and that is really your leading guide. What am I doing here? So when I get distracted and I think, oh, I just can't do another day of work, I look up. And my personal purpose statement is, I'm the eagle that inspires others to soar beyond their horizons. That's something that I crafted with my coach many, many years ago. And when I look up and I remember that, I say, oh, right, that's what this is for. I'm helping as many people as I can soar beyond their horizons. Now, that works for me. It's not going to work for anybody else. So I would encourage you to really ask yourself those open-ended questions, find an accountability partner to help you think it through and get clear on your purpose. And once you have that, then also figuring out, well, to do my purpose, what aptitude skills do I need right now versus 6 months from now, a year from now, and what resources do I need now versus 6 months, 12 months from now.
We are just about at the end of our time here, and I really want to thank Anne for joining us tonight, shedding light and sharing this wonderful thing called The Success Equation. A Manager's Guide to Coaching is one of her books, and Managing the Unmanageable. For those of you who are managing other people, that would probably be a worthwhile read. But just in closing, Anne, would you like to say anything else?
Just thank you, everybody, for taking time tonight to be with us. And thank you, Freddie, for inviting me. And let's all go out and have a great 2012.
And with lots of motivation, which clearly comes from the inside, it's an inside job. And when it's missing, it's an indicator that something else is missing. You can discover what's missing through coaching, through some self-evaluation, help you build a plan and get what that missing link is. And most importantly, have somebody to stay in touch with your promise to yourself, because that's really what you're doing. Your motivation's from within. It's what you want to promise yourself. And if you'd like to experience coaching, both Anne and I offer a complimentary 30-minute session, and so you can decide if coaching is right for you and to experience how powerful it can be. We're here to serve and to foster your success and want to wish you a very happy and healthy and prosperous new year.